Hello, everyone. In today's episode, we answer a question we've been asked over and over. Can you graduate from strength training? And what comes next? Please enjoy it.
Welcome to the Perfect Workout Podcast, where fitness meets simplicity. I'm Kyle Recchia, CEO of the Perfect Workout. I'm joined by Jim Keen, our director of training. We hope you enjoy today's episode.
Hey, everybody. We are here again live.
Hey, that's my part. You do the intro of the episode.
Well, I just thought.
Then I welcome it. Nope. You're already.
One time?
No. You're already the expert. What? Producers, the producers want you to talk about the science, and I will do the hosting.
You gotta let me out of my cage every now and then, man.
We'll see.
I have things to say.
We'll see how you do on this episode.
All right, what are we talking about?
So today we're gonna talk about variety. It's a question we get a lot. Should there be variety in my exercises? Should there be variety because I need to confuse the muscles, or I haven't done that exercise for a while? I did the triceps on this exercise machine. Or I did the back on this exercise machine, the lat pull down, but I didn't do it on the compound row, et cetera. What are people really looking for when they're asking about variety? And is it important? Let's start there.
I think, because we do get that question a lot, and it's a misunderstanding of what this should be. For example, nobody ever tries to think of new and novel ways to brush and floss. They brush and floss in the morning, and they brush and floss before bed. They probably, everyone listening to this, you probably use the same flossing and brushing mechanism. Every couple of years, maybe you get a new, I got an electric toothbrush, or I got these little placards flossers instead of the floss.
Yeah.
Something like that can happen, but there's not, well, I've done this way for a week. I need to find a new way to brush and floss. And what you realize is that's hygiene. It's maintenance. It's how to maintain the health of your teeth and gums. It's the same way with exercise. You're not growing any new limbs. You're not growing any new muscles. Every muscle that would be a target for exercise has a function. And this is why I sometimes think it's funny when people talk about functional movements.
Mm.
And I was talking with someone the other day about just a bicep curl that you're doing. Well, I prefer more functional movements. Well, what's the function of the biceps? Well, the function of the biceps is to supinate the hand and flex the arm and flex the shoulder. And so if you put weight on that movement and you challenge the bicep to do its function, that's a functional movement. Congratulations. You've just done functional movement with the bicep because that is the bicep's function.
Oh, you're taking a whole industry marketing away, but in two sentences. But that's
how are you going to sell this stuff to these people if it's functional? Okay, bro. So the idea is I need variety. Why do you need variety? Well, I need to confuse the muscles. And that, you know, that's a Tony Horton thing from the early aughts. When you have this much gray in your beard, you were there for that. And so the idea was that the muscles can become confused. This, of course, doesn't happen in that way. And a muscle can produce force. It can be made to produce force. There's a demand that can be placed on it. There's movement patterns. Those are skills that are highly specific. This is why when you plateau after a few months on one movement pattern, you can switch to a different pattern that involves that same muscle. And all of a sudden, you notice rapid increases in performance. This is not because the muscle is getting stronger. This is because you have a new movement pattern at which you are not as skilled. Mm-hmm. And so the increase you're noticing in your performance is not due to the improved performance of the muscle itself and its force-producing capacity, called strength. It's actually due to motor learning, neurological adaptation. So you're improving your skill at that new movement that you're not as practiced at. So, oh, this is great. This muscle confusion works great. I do this for 3 months and then I switch to something else. It could even be 6 weeks, something like that. You get tricked. Your perception is that you improve and then you keep improving and then you improve. But the truth is the muscle is not improving. Your ability to use the muscle to demonstrate strength is improving. You're acquiring new skills, which is great. But if I plateau juggling bowling pins and you can't juggle as heavy as I can juggle, that doesn't mean I'm stronger than you. That means I'm better at juggling than you.
Yeah.
So even a bench press, even standard movements, you're still negotiating a weight through three-dimensional space. And that involves an incredible symphony of coordination from your entire nervous system all the way down, from the brainstem all the way down to the final innervated motor units. And it's very precise. So when you change it even just a little bit, you move the bench 5 degrees, all of a sudden you'll notice that, say, oh, this is better. I'm improving again. No, no, you're just getting skilled at this new, slightly different move first.
So. Yeah, it reminds me, you're a musician, a trumpet player. I'm a musician. I play drums. It sort of reminds me of the idea. So people there's a fallacy here. They're thinking we're confusing the muscles as if the muscles are some villain that's like constantly trying not to grow.
Yeah, yeah.
You know it's challenging to grow muscle, right? But and the body's looking for homeostasis. We've also talked about the idea that you can't get infinitely stronger.
Right.
We've talked about plateaus, which I'll bring up in a moment. And as we move on to another piece here, but you know, if you're moving from one type of instrument, let's say it's playing the guitar, to another type of stringed instrument, all of a sudden you're not as good neurologically, right?
Right.
As you are on this one, as you were that one. But it doesn't mean that all of a sudden you're much stronger now that you've learned two instruments in the hands and in the fingers,
right,
if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And strength is a generally applicable attribute. I'll say that again. Strength, the ability of the muscles to produce force, is applicable to anything that involves that muscle. So on, if you come to the perfect workout and every single movement is designed to coordinate, to correspond to muscle and joint function for that target muscle, whatever it is. This is why we don't keep changing the movements, because all of your muscles are still the same 6 months later. They all have the same primary functions 6 months later. The muscle and joint functions do not change, so the exercise selection does not change, because we've already honed in and focused on the most efficient, potent stimulus for that muscle along that muscle and joint track.
Yep.
So, done. Great. Awesome. We don't need to come up with, it's like if you see a device, a popular device, and it brags about there's 200 different exercises you can do on this device. And it's the Bruce Lee thing. It's like, yeah, I'm afraid of the guy not who has practiced 10,000 kicks one time. I'm afraid of the guy who's practiced one kick 10,000 times. And it's the same way with our exercise. I don't want bells and whistles and 200 different patterns, because then I'm just working on skill, demonstrating skill, which is great. If I'm in the sport of weightlifting, the sport of hockey, the sport of shot put, whatever my sport is, yes, you need to practice that skill. But this is not practicing a skill. This is increasing a generally applicable attribute called strength.
Right.
So we need to select, it's a very small number of movements that we need because we have a very small number of muscles that we're working. So you don't need variety. And in fact, it's counterproductive, because now you're just befuddling the original skill set of working in accordance with muscle and joint function of whatever the target musculature is. So you don't need to offer variety in terms of exercise selection. If anything, the variety should be in protocol, in how much work you're doing, in the weight that's being used, in the frequency every week. You can change so many different things, but for gosh sake, don't change the movement patterns.
Right, to really focus on that stimulus.
Correct.
Yep, exactly. And so look, I mean, we understand we're all human. We're not just robots other than you.
A little bit.
Thank goodness you don't actually know Jim Keen here.
I've been, since 2013, been fighting robots. I think I might be starting to become one.
For the rest of us, you know, we have psychological needs as well. So we have the ability to do different things in the studios with some variety, mixing it up a little bit. But they stay pretty tight when it comes to keeping you focused in.
Rushing and flossing.
Yes. So a good example is we don't have the horizontal chest press and then a lot of options for incline or decline, because turns out those three different ways of training the chest actually train the chest and increase the chest muscles in the same way. But if you move from one to the other, there's going to be time that you have to train neurologically and catch up to where you probably already were, and distracting from that progressive overload. So if variety is important to you, if you're just sort of getting a little bored with it, talk to your trainers. They have tons of really cool, kind of crazy ways to mix it up, but it's not necessary at all. And it could be slowing down your progress versus that little evil muscle that you're trying to confuse so you can trick it into more growth. Which kind of brings me to the other side of this coin here. It's not uncommon for people to train with us for quite some time. I got this the other day. I've been with the Perfect Workout for 6 years. I love it. I've gotten incredible results. I feel really strong. And I've tried a lot of your different machines. In fact, all of them. We've tried different ways of doing this, this, and that. And I've sort of mastered them all, right?
Yeah.
And so it's time for me to graduate. And I put that in quotations, but people really use those words. I'm going to graduate from this program, and I'm going to go do something else. And that something else, in my own experience, N equals one, but I can speak for a lot of our trainers, that something else tends to be other things that they want to do that's interesting, but more recreational.
Sure.
So I'm going to stop doing this now that I've graduated and I'm strong enough, and I'm going to go do road biking, for example.
Sure.
So it goes back to that this or that, or I've arrived. Maybe it's because of that fallacy of, and we've talked about this before, and I said I was going to bring it up, I'm hitting the plateaus. My strength gains are no longer exponential, so I must be able to check this checkbox and go do something different. And when I go do that new different thing, the progress in that thing is so profound and new.
Like, I'm back, baby.
Like picking up the violin. Yes, here we go. Now I'm getting stronger again. Right. So hopefully you understand that's not really what's happening, right? But talk about this a little bit, Jim, the graduating thing. Let's just double down on the prior episode on plateaus and graduating from heavy strength training.
A good question to ask yourself is, compared to what? We've spent a quarter of a century whittling down. It's like when Michelangelo, they asked him, how did you carve this amazing statue of David? And he goes, well, I just carved away everything that wasn't the guy. So it's the same thing. We've whittled away everything that is not high quality, potent demand placed on the muscles in a way that does not waste time and does not hurt the user. So we've eliminated so much. And what we're left with is the best. Thanks. And if there's something better, we would do it. But right now, this is the best that anybody knows how to do. Otherwise, we would be doing even more. So it's work with the muscles in a way that doesn't hurt you, doesn't waste your time. It's convenient. It's not intimidating. And it's quantifiable. All that good stuff. So what? Okay, I'm tired of that. I've been doing that 6 years. I've been doing the best thing for 6 years. I'm kind of tired of it. So I'm going to go do something that would not be the best thing, right? So it's like, this isn't working for me. And you say, well, compared to what? And it is working for you compared to every single other thing you could be doing. Every single, when someone has this conversation with us, one of the things I always point out is like, okay, well, I mean, it's your life. You could do whatever you want. But what are some things that you found that get you your workout in even faster than we do, more efficiently? And of course, it's crickets. What are you going to do that gives you an even better strength result than the thing specifically designed for that? It's always a sacrifice in terms of time, risk of injury, quantifiability, et cetera. This is great. I have to show up 5-6 times per week for like an hour, and it's going to take longer and I have more wear and tear on my joints, but I just feel like doing something different. Mm-hmm. So some people would purposely do a less effective thing just to scratch that novelty itch. But these same people, like me, I've been showering for decades. Almost a daily basis.
Wow.
And I feel like I'm graduating. Like I've really showered well. I figured it out. I've honed it in. I even towel off in the same order every time. I've got the soap. I got all my stuff, right?
Time to move on.
It's time to move on.
You've mastered it.
It's time to move on. I want to try some other fun stuff. Maybe a rag on a stick. Mm-hmm. Maybe a hose like a county. Maybe other ways to clean myself. And of course, that sounds silly because it is silly. Because you would never sacrifice the best way for something that is going to take longer, it's going to be less comfortable, it's not going to do the job as well.
When focusing on my health, I've mastered brushing the teeth and flossing. I'll go do something else.
Right, I've graduated from brushing and flossing. I'm
doing that.
I'm going to go back and use something else to do it. Nobody ever does that because people have a very clear understanding of personal hygiene as far as health, maintenance of teeth, how you smell, all that personal hygiene stuff. But they treat exercise like it's just a bit of fun. This is just for recreation. I'm just going to do this for a while. It's like, no, dude, this is not just for fun. Mm-hmm. This is maintenance of your muscles, of your skeleton, of your tendons, of your ligaments, of your brain, mm-hmm. of your endothelium, all your arteries, all your veins. There is no part of your body that is not sustained, maintained, and improved by the application of a specific demand of the stimulus that we provide on the body in the most time-efficient, safe way possible. There is no part of your body that does not respond to that. Yep. So it's not just a bit of fun. It's not recreation. It's not just a hobby that you have. This is maintenance, just like showering and brushing and flossing are maintenance. Just like all your car maintenance is not for fun. It's so the car doesn't break down. I'm tired of taking it into the mechanic. I've been taking it in for years. I've graduated. I'm just going to drive it around and see what happens for fun.
Yeah.
And this is the issue people have, thinking that exercise is supposed to be this fun hobby or activity. Mm. No. It's not supposed to be fun in the same way brushing and flossing isn't supposed to be fun. So when I hear I've graduated, I'm gonna try something else, what it tells me is that person is well-meaning but misinformed about the nature of what exercise is and should be for.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's wrap this up this way. I think we've talked about this a lot in the past, and it's fair to say it again and again and again. And I get it. We're the guys running this company, trying to have this impact on the world, and this is our land.
We're selling toothbrushes.
Yes, we're selling toothbrushes, and we're saying you need a toothbrush. I get it. And it, from our perspective, that doesn't negate the fact that it's just absolutely true. So, and this is one of the reasons I like to say that I'm in the business of holistic health, it's easy for people to say holistic health is physical, it's mental, it's emotional, and that's absolutely true. And then say strength training is just physical. That is not true. We've talked about this a lot. Strength training properly is physical, it's mental, it's emotional, it's hormonal, like we've talked about. So is exercising the way that we have our members exercising sufficient for health? I would say yes. But is it necessary? Yes, it's sufficient and necessary. So I love hiking. I love, you name it, pickleball, mountain biking. And I do those things and I get to continue to do those things and I get to continue enjoying those things because I'm still brushing my teeth. I'm still taking those showers. I'm still doing what's necessary and sufficient. And I get to do the other things even more.
Yep.
Cool. So unfortunately,
now they're elsewhere.
You won't graduate. You just won't graduate from us. You're stuck with us for life. You're welcome. But we do love you.
And if not with us, you better be contracting muscles against resistance somehow for the rest of your life.
Absolutely. All right, man. I think this one, we got a little direct, and that's good.
Yeah, a little tough love.
A little tough love.
A little tough love for the guys.
Speaking of.
Right? Yeah. See? Yeah.
All right, everyone. See you soon.
Thanks for tuning in to the Perfect Workout Podcast. We hope you found today's episode inspiring and actionable. If you're ready to take the next step in your fitness journey, visit us at theperfectworkout.com for more resources or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with someone who could benefit. Together, let's make fitness simple, empowering, and a part of life well lived. See you next time.